Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of Reimagining Justice, a Texas Impact special 10-part series on health equity. This series is part of our ongoing podcast, Weekly Witness, which equips Texans of all faiths for leadership and policy advocacy and civic engagement. I'm your host and Texas Impact's Outreach Director, Scott Atnip. You can find more information about today's episode, including blog posts and other resources on our website at texasimpact.org/weeklywitness. If you've heard the expression, your lifespan should be a function of your genetic code, not your zip code, you have been introduced to the idea of health equity. In the past 10 years, media attention has focused increasingly on the reality that health status, longevity, and other indicators of physical and emotional well-being are functions of a complex set of factors, including race, income, intergenerational wealth, educational status, and more. It turns out that having health insurance and access to healthcare are just one piece of the puzzle. And health equity should be a primary concern for faith communities, because local congregations interact with vulnerable people through a variety of outreach activities, so we are well-positioned to understand the connections between the many inputs that impact health. Things like access to healthy food, the availability of safe, affordable housing, and even proximity to sources of pollution. Those are all things that we call social determinants of health, the things that drive health status. We hope this podcast series inspires you to learn more about health equity and the social determinants of health in your local community so you can be an effective advocate for a healthy future for all Texans. And I'm particularly excited for today's conversation as we are honored to be joined by Jamie Wesolowski, the president and CEO of Methodist Healthcare Ministries of South Texas that you hear so much about during these weekly witness episodes. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Scott. My pleasure.
So we talk about Methodist Healthcare Ministries a lot here at Texas Impact. I wonder if you'd be willing to share for a few minutes your history and where the organization is today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, our history is relatively brief. In fact, we're about to celebrate our 25th year anniversary on January 11th.
Oh, so, happy anniversary. You
know, thank you very much. Yeah, so in a pretty short period of time, I think we've been able to do a lot and have a major impact in health equity in South Texas. We have two very large health and wellness centers where we focus on integrated health care, and that is medical care, behavioral care, and oral health. And what's interesting is 55% of our clients come to us for all three services. And the other 45%, most of them come to us for at least two of those services. So very, very successful program. We also do two school-based clinics. Other work that we do is more regional in nature because our territory encompasses 74 counties. So in those 74 counties, we have 88 Wesley nurses that focus on work within the communities of their church. We also have community health workers and counselors, and we integrate those in those 74 counties. We do a lot of grant work, so we have quite a few funded partners, over 90 to be exact. And then finally, a really big part of our work is policy and advocacy focused on the least served, you know, those that really need us. Our work in our clinics focuses on the working poor, so we don't accept Medicaid or Medicare or any kind of insurance. And our advocacy also focuses on the working poor, and then the ones that are least served throughout South Texas.
So you all do some incredible work, and we certainly appreciate that. And on behalf of all Texans, I think I can say that. And you were selected as president and CEO of the ministries last year after serving and recently retiring as the CEO of Methodist Healthcare System for over 11 years. So what is the vision of Methodist Healthcare Ministries for the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, it's great timing to talk about that because we just had our strategic plan approved by our board, and we're going to continue to focus on the efforts that have been so successful, the ones I just talked about. But where we want to go in the future is more on population health, prevention, more upstream, if you will. And one thing that's important to know is that only 20% of health is due to clinical issues. The majority of a person's health is focused on other things like socioeconomic issues, like education, employment. Do they have ability to get jobs? And do they have income through those jobs that gets them out of that cycle of poverty? Other issues are environmental, like water. Quite a few of our colonias do not have water, and clean water is what I'm talking about. And really, that is something that just should not be happening in the United States of America. So once we made some headway in session this year, and hopefully 2 years from now we go into session, we can take care of eliminating areas within South Texas that do not have clean water. Also, air and housing is a big issue. And then finally, personal health choices that we make. Do we use tobacco? Do we diet? Do we exercise? Do we use alcohol? Drug use and things of that nature are really very detrimental. So really the things that I'm talking about are the 80% that have nothing to do with clinical care that we will continue to do, but really do define our state of health. Other things that we will do is to focus on communities and to go very deep into those communities. Some of the things that we will do is, again, continue to work on church hubs, working with our church partners and our Wesley nurses and community health workers. Also, what's important is we go into these communities that we kind of create communities of solutions. And we find out people that have lived experiences within those communities that they can really help us define what the gaps are in health and well-being within their community. And then also try to work with the leadership of those communities, whether it's formal leadership or identify leaders within those communities that are a little bit less formal that can really help the community pull along. It's important to realize that we don't want to go in there and change the community ourselves. We want to go in there and just facilitate and allow the community the opportunity to change themselves for the better. And then finally, one thing that I have realized by being here for a little over a year, as I start going throughout South Texas, I realize that the need out there is great, and it's basically infinite. And even though we give away about $110 million a year through Methodist Healthcare Ministries, I consider that a drop in the ocean when you go out there and identify the needs that's out there. So for us to really impact change within South Texas on social determinants of care, we really need to partner with other organizations and collaborate. So whether it's regional in nature, and we look at partnering with universities and other large foundations, or whether it's local, where we identify entities like the City of San Antonio, Metro Health, or University Health Services and things like that, we have to collaborate to make the biggest impact. So that's really the future in a nutshell, in a long paragraph, where we're going for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I love it. And that's some important work that you're doing. And I love that you're challenging congregations to come together in those hubs and be a part of that that important work that's happening in their communities. And because like I mentioned at the top, these congregations, these people of faith, do see those issues related to equity and do see these social determinants that are playing out firsthand each and every day. So what are some examples of how the ministries is addressing health equity? Why is that important for some of the challenges that you have, especially in South Texas and the Rio Grande Valley areas?
Well, a couple of examples. One I just mentioned briefly was water. I tell you what, when I started here a little over a year ago and made my first trip to the Valley and realized just how many people and how many different colonias are without clean water, it was appalling to me. I just didn't realize that was the situation that we had. So Proposition 2 provided for, that we just voted on, as a matter of fact, in November,
right,
provided for $200 million in bonds for water infrastructure projects. And that is just key. And our hope is that we can continue that effort and go into the next session in 2021 and get about another $160 million, that would then eliminate areas within South Texas that do not have clean water. So that's a big example. Also, you know, as you drive through South Texas, you find food deserts and food insecurities. And one thing that we're doing is a pilot program in Nueces County that gives additional funding for families that are in the federal SNAP program, giving them incentives to purchase healthy foods like fruits and vegetables as opposed to non-healthy foods. And hopefully that will give them enough motivation to have more dollars to spend and to buy the right things for their family, which would then lead to better health for them. So those are a couple examples, I think, that we're trying to address.
All right. Are there any other social determinants of health specific to South Texas? Are there any other factors or set of factors that impact health status there?
Yeah, clearly, one thing as far as the social determinant of health is just, and I talked about food deserts. I kind of created this term in my own head, but there are primary care deserts out there. And there are areas where you can drive for quite a long ways without finding a doctor, just a primary care doctor. So I do think that we need to focus on that shortage of providers in rural counties. One thing we need to do is subsidize the salaries of doctors and dentists and behavioral health specialists. And we need to advocate to fund state incentives that will pay off medical school loans, for an example, that would encourage physicians and providers to go to these underserved areas, desperately underserved areas, at least for a period of time, in return for writing off their loans. And I think I had this number right, of the 74 counties that we serve, 71 of those 74 counties are defined as medically underserved. So we're in a pretty tough state in South Texas.
Well, appreciate your work. We'll look forward to continuing the conversation after this quick break to thank our sponsors.
You're listening to Reimagining Justice, Texas Impact's special podcast series on health equity. Texas Impact is Texas's oldest and largest interfaith advocacy network. We work for freedom, justice, and opportunity for all people. We advance public policies that are consistent with broadly held religious social teachings by mobilizing people of faith to talk to policymakers and to other members of their communities. To find out more and get involved, go to our website, www.texasimpact.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Reimagining Justice is made possible by the generous support of Methodist Healthcare Ministries of South Texas, serving humanity to honor God by improving the physical, mental, and spiritual health of those least served in the Rio Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church. Methodist Healthcare Ministries is a private, faith-based, not-for-profit organization dedicated to creating access to healthcare for the uninsured in South Texas through direct services, community partnerships, and strategic grant making. Reimagining Justice is also supported by the DentaQuest Partnership for Oral Health Advancement, revolutionizing oral health to create an effective and equitable system that results in improved oral health and well-being for everyone. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of Texas Impact and do not necessarily reflect the views of our sponsors. If you appreciate this podcast, we hope you will consider financially supporting Texas Impact with a monthly contribution. You can donate securely and easily on our website, texasimpact.org. And now, back to our program.
Well, thanks for sticking with us, and I'm sure you enjoyed the sponsor break as much as I did, since we are talking to one of those sponsors during this time together. So, Jamie, thanks for sticking with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure.
All right. So, for those of us who've spent some time in South Texas, we recognize that there are some unique challenges there. Does the rest of the state have a responsibility to focus on South Texas? And if so, why and what would be the most impactful ways the legislature could move the needle forward from a state perspective?
Yeah, I really do believe strongly that the state does have a responsibility. One thing I'll just throw in here that some people have seen it, some people have not, but there are a lot of studies that show that the United States spends much more in healthcare services than in social services. In fact, we're the only industrialized nation that does that. And the result of that is that we have a lower life expectancy. And when I had our vice president of strategic planning look into that for the state of Texas, the fact of the matter is Texas spends twice as much, twice the proportion on health services as opposed to social services. And the life expectancy in Texas is lower than the United States. So we really need to kind of change that quite a bit and look at social funding. And again, I go back to the clean water. It's hard to keep communities healthy when they're getting sick from the water that they drink or even come in contact with. So again, another $160 million in the whole scheme of things for the state it sounds like a lot of money, but compared to everything that we spend, it's still a fairly small portion, and we can eradicate areas that are drinking harmful water. Anything school reform related that would increase the state's share of education funding would be very, very important. We truly need more funding, for our poor school districts. And, one thing is that when you look at all indicators of how well a person does in life, the number one indicator of everything is a high school education. And we have such a large number of people that are in our areas in South Texas that are not graduating from high school, let alone going to college. And so to really break that cycle of poverty, we really need to be able to get people to graduate from high school at least, and then hopefully get more people into college. But those are, I think, some of the areas that the state can have the responsibility for. We've been working for years, both in my past job, running a big hospital system, and in my new job running this ministry, and that is Medicaid expansion. That is something that I think absolutely needs to be considered and give more people access to health coverage. And that's a responsibility, I believe, of our state also.
So I'm going to push you a little further on that one, if you don't mind. And the example I'll use is we're a statewide organization, and as the outreach director, I have a chance to talk to Texans of faith in every corner of Texas. And one of the things I was asked out in Northwest Texas last year was why people in Northwest Texas should care about, Hurricane Harvey recovery funding and that kind of thing. So I guess I'd pose a similar question to you. If you're talking to people throughout the state and in other corners of the state, why do you think they should care about what's happening in South Texas?
Well, I just think, again, it's not just South Texas. There are a lot of pockets in East Texas. The fact of the matter, there are pockets in every part of our state. What's interesting is when you look at poverty, and when you look at the level of health care, it's not just South Texas. I can give you examples in North Texas, mm-hmm. West Texas, definitely East Texas, got quite a few, as well as South Texas. So I would say to anybody who says, I'm from some other part of Texas, and why should I care about South Texas? I'll say, because you have examples of that same type of poverty and poor health in your section of Texas.
Right. And as somebody who lives in East Texas, I'll confirm there are certainly pockets in East Texas as well. Appreciate that. So Texas Impact is educating and mobilizing people of faith and faith communities across the state to meet with legislators and their staffs. We're encouraging them to make district visits during this interim period. So what message do you wish our faithful advocates would share with their district offices and legislators?
Well, thank you. Full disclosure, Methodist Healthcare Ministries funds and truly appreciates Texas Impact for its advocacy work in healthcare policy.
We certainly appreciate your
work. Things that we do is we work hand in hand with our Rio, Texas conference of the United Methodist Church to address the needs of our faith communities. And I gave you an example of that with the Wesley Health, with our Wesley nurses. And each Wesley nurse partners with the pastor in their church, and they're not there to work on their congregation. They're there to work on their community. We make that very, very clear. So the pastor then takes some dedication to their community at large, as well as the Wesley nurses. And they're there really not, he or she is not there to do strictly nursing care. They're there to connect our resources and the resources of our funded partners to the people in their community that need us most. And they do a tremendous amount of work. So one thing is just, is partnering with our Rio, Texas Conference United Methodist Church. Our own policy work with local, state, and federal lawmakers, aligns and follows the social principles of the United Methodist Church. And so every year when we decide, what are we going to advocate for? We have to make sure that there is alignment with the social principles of the United Methodist Church. And many times we have to check in with our vice president over our ministry services and with any possibly with the bishop of the United Methodist Church just to make absolutely sure. So there is quite a bit of alignment that we have from a faith-based perspective.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get myself in trouble for this, but I live in the Texas Annual Conference, and my wife is a nurse and loves the idea of community nursing and wishes we had something like Wesley Nurses in our part of Texas as well. So we'll have that conversation another time. But anything else you would encourage folks to talk about as they meet with their legislators during this interim period?
Oh, boy. One thing is benefits. I can't remember the laws necessarily, there's one that is continued benefits for mothers just delivered, and then also for children, for families that are in poverty, for continued benefits for Medicaid. So those are a couple that come to mind off the top of my head. Sorry for not having the specifics of that.
Oh, no worries. And we'll certainly provide information if you check the blog post and keep an eye on the weekly witness page. I'd also just encourage, since you brought it up, those congregations who have Wesley nurses, it seems like that'd be an important piece of information for district or for representatives to know that there's that benefit and that service in the local community. So we've been encouraging people to meet with their representatives to talk about what their church is doing, what they're seeing and experiencing in their local communities, and that might be something that would be worth sharing with your representatives.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So, anything else that you'd like to shamelessly plug?
Well, I just think that the partnership that we have that makes the Methodist Healthcare Ministries possible, and that's a partnership between Methodist Healthcare Ministries and HCA, and we each own 50% of the Methodist Healthcare system, and I think that this partnership is really one of the healthcare gems in the United States, in my opinion. And as I go around and I see different colleagues throughout the United States, and I tell them about what we do, they are sort of dumbfounded, quite honestly, because not only do we take care of thousands of families in our health and wellness centers, but when we identify someone who needs additional care that we can't provide ourselves at Methodist Healthcare Ministries, we turn to the Methodist Healthcare System, and they have about just a little bit under 300 specialists that will take our patients. Some are nice enough to take those patients without pay, just as part of their mission. And some of them will accept Medicare allowable rates, which is pretty inexpensive. Clearly, they're not making money off of this. And they agree to take those patients from us. And then we also then partner with the Methodist Healthcare System of hospitals, where they will provide the surgeries, the overnight stays, the ancillary care, and write all that off to charity. So when you think about just the vast amount of charity that we do, not only through Methodist Healthcare Ministries, but our partner and our set of hospitals, Methodist Healthcare System, it's a pretty incredible impact on the healthcare of the people that we serve. And then part of it, not only the patients from the health and wellness centers, but we get a lot of patients that are referred up from our Wesley nurses throughout the 74 counties that we serve. You know, patients that just would not have health care at all, they'll refer them to us, and we'll partner with the Methodist Healthcare System, and they'll take care of them.
So where would people go to get more information?
Really, it would be our website would be the best thing. And you could look up either the Wesley Health and Wellness Center or the Dixon Health and Wellness Center and just call that number and ask any questions at all. So I'd say either through our website or just calling the number of our health and wellness centers for any type of health care.
So check them out, mhm.org. Jamie, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for the ministry that you and Methodist Healthcare Ministries of South Texas are doing each and every day. We certainly appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you, Scott. I really appreciate the time that you've given us, and keep up the great work that you're providing. Thank you.
Thanks, and thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. We will continue to release more content next week in this Reimagining Justice series. Until then, we hope that you will rate and review the content and share this podcast with your friends and congregations. And if you've made it this far in the program, you clearly appreciate the content, so make sure that you and your congregations are members of Texas Impact by going to texasimpact.org/join. Friends, thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you again next week. Until then, let's get to work.
Reimagining Justice is a production of Texas Impact and the Texas Interfaith Center for Public Policy. Engineered by David Vassallo, executive producer B. Moorhead. Our series is recorded in Austin, Texas.